Praise the Lord. Let's all say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for this conference.
Thank you, Lord, for this conference.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, it's a sign of the age, and it's a sign of the end of the age, that the people's heart will grow cold, and that they will become unthankful. So it's so good to have, to be among fellow thankful saints,
amen.
Right? Well, we are thankful to the Lord for so many things. Thankful to the Lord for a beautiful day. Thankful to the Lord for our health. Thankful to the Lord that our heart is beating.
Amen.
Thankful to the Lord for our parents.
Amen.
Thankful to the Lord for the saints, for the church, right? Just, I can go on all day. So much to be thankful for.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And we're particularly thankful that the Lord has gathered us all here this weekend to find out what it means to be normal. Right? And that's not easy because the whole world is abnormal. So every day at school, every day in our communities, we see abnormality everywhere, pursuing other things, all of this. But I think we got at least a glimpse this weekend of how wonderful it is to be normal. You know, the world needs much more normalcy. This is a kind of miraculous normality that when they see it, it's attractive. We saw, right? This is how we were created. We were created to be God's duplication, right? How wonderful this is. That means that within us, we have the capacity to receive the Lord, to contain the Lord, and to express God. Everyone here has this kind of capacity. Whether you think highly of yourself or not, we have this capacity.
Amen.
Not because of anything we did, but because of how God created us.
Amen.
Right? Praise the Lord for how God created man. Then we saw that man and all of creation became fallen, just became dark and corrupted. Dark, if there's a dark situation, what is the need? Light. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the dark. And I won't tell you how old I was when I finally allowed my mom to take away the nightlight. Because when there's I wasn't in my teens or anything, but when there is a dark situation, the need is light, right? Who is the light of the world? Okay, yeah, on one hand you say the Lord is the light of the world, right? But who is living in you? The light of the world. So what did the Lord say? The Lord said, you are the light of the world, right? Amazing, right? Not us individually, but us corporately, right? What does that mean? Okay, that means, see, what is your name? I'm sorry? Kenneth? Okay. He's there at the campus, right? But Kenneth, or Kenneth? Kenneth. But Kenneth meets with the church in Phoenix, right? With you?
John.
Okay. If you can stand up. And also, and with Chris. Okay. All right. So, here's Kenneth, right? Meeting with Brother John and Chris, enjoying the Lord. Hallelujah, right? Morning revival, calling them in the morning. Brother John, wake up. Brother John, wake up. Time for morning revival, right? Let's take the land, oh, older brother. Right? Having a corporate time with them. Then Kenneth goes to school, right? Okay, I need all of you, right, to stand up, right? Just like in the video with Brother Tom. Surround our brother, okay? I like his shirt. His shirt is yellow, right? Like light. Okay, and these guys don't have, they have dark except for him. So he's surrounded. He's in the midst of a crooked and perverted generation, right? In the midst. He's right there in the midst. But is he alone? On one hand, you say, yes, he's alone. On the other hand, who's really there? Huh? The brothers are there, right? And so who do they see? They don't see the brothers. They see Kenneth. But what they don't know is that Kenneth is part of a corporate organism. So he, because he had morning revival with the brothers, he's plugged in with them. And by the way, everything is fine with them. There's nothing between. There's no offense. There's no problems. Kenneth is so careful to keep any insulation, any hindrance of the flow, to keep it out, so the flow can be free. So he's there in such a way, shining. So on the one hand, you say he's there alone. No, actually, he's there with all the brothers. Right? He's part of a corporate building. Even though he's there, they're the only ones he sees. But he's there, really, with a corporate building. Amen. Make your way in there. Make your way in there. Find a wave. He's really there like that. That's how he is. Amen. You see, when you're on your campus, that's how you are. Amen. Because you're not individual. Amen. You are part of a corporate vine tree. Amen. Praise the Lord. So if he bears fruit, what is your name? If Jose says, oh, Kenneth, I want to be like you. So shining and happy. Now he becomes fruit, right? He gets saved. Praise the Lord. Whose fruit is that? You say on one hand, Kenneth's, right? But on the other hand, whose fruit is it? It's all of ours. Amen. It's the fruit of the corporate vine with all the branches, right? Amen. Then he becomes two. And then you speak to him. And you speak to him. And now, how many are there? Four, right? Or six, depending on how you look at it. Then eventually these two are saying, why are we the only ones miserable over here? And they say, hey, what do you guys have? And they have a one-word answer. What do you have? God is a good answer, but more specifically, the Lord. There is one name in which you can be saved. Jesus! That's right. After a while, his whole group becomes saved, right? Now they're pursuing together, right? Very good. Okay. Okay, thanks. Thank you. So by our abiding in the vine like this, in a corporate way, being careful to keep the fellowship of the vine so free, with nothing between us, nothing between us and the brothers, nothing between us and the Lord, this flow can come in. And this flow operates in us, and this flow just radiates out of us. And we pray for our friends, and sometimes we speak to them, and then something happens, and we bear fruit by abiding in the vine. Amen. Right? Okay. Now, this morning, we want to have a workshop, and we're going to practice corporately a number of things. Calling on the Lord, pray reading the word. Praise the Lord for pray reading the word. Contacting the Lord through our repentance and confession. This is a big item. We'll speak more on that when we are on that point. And then contacting the Lord through our prayer. And then the importance of the believer's meeting. Okay? So first, let's read the title for message 4. Message 4, go.
A daily living. Contacting the Lord personally and corporately.
Okay. So we saw a lot this weekend. Amen?
Amen?
Now we're about to go down the mountain and continue our daily living. What should we do in our daily living? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, etc. How do we live a daily living? We should have a daily living that is full of contacting the Lord. Personally, that means all alone, and corporately with others. Okay, let's read Roman numeral 1. Calling
on the name of the Lord.
Amen. Let's read Romans 10, 12 through 13.
For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek.
Right. Amen. Amen. For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all and rich to all. The same Lord is Lord of all and okay to all who call upon him. The same Lord is Lord of all and so-so to all who call upon him. Does it say the same Lord is Lord of all and pretty good to all who call on him? How is our calling? Do we have a so-so calling? Do we have a okay calling? Or do we experience the rich, the one who's rich through calling? If not, then we need to improve our calling, right? Listen, there is a way you can take the Lord's name in vain. Okay? On the one hand, yes, everyone, or you cannot say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. That's right. But we need to be careful that we don't treat the Lord's name in a common way. Many in the world, and I'm sorry to say, many among us treat the Lord's name as if it were something poor, something common. Have you ever heard the expression, and I don't even like to say it, oh my God, right? Yeah, I don't even like to say it like this, and I'm not going to say it again. So I hope you heard me the first time. Something happens, and you say, right? It means nothing. It's empty. There's nothing in there. There's no appreciation. It's just vanity. You're just using the highest name in the lowest way. See? To an unbeliever, it doesn't matter, because to them, God is nothing. But to a believer, if you're a believer, say amen.
Amen.
If you're a believer, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
To a believer, this is God's name, right? Okay, more specifically, God became a man, and a name was given to him, which became the only way for man to be saved through this precious name. And that name is Jesus Christ. This name is the name of the vine. This name is the name of the one who is the center. This is the name of the one who has received all the fullness of God. This is the name of the one who has become the Spirit with all the riches of God in it. So when we call on that name, we need to realize whatever we need is in that name. Do you need strength? It's in there. Do you need compassion? Compassion is in that name. What do you need, brothers? Patience. Oh, Lord Jesus. Patience. God is full of patience. He is the I am. Whatever you need, He is. You know, I really enjoy this. He's the I am, period. I am. I am. He didn't say, I am wonderful. I am that. He just says, I am. I am that I am. Who's the I am? I am. One time when they came to arrest the Lord, right? When they came to arrest the Lord, He was there. And they asked Him, are you Jesus? And He says, I am. And they all fell down. Did you know that? The ones who came to with their swords and everything to arrest Him, you know. He knocked them all down with two words. I am. That's Jehovah. I am. Who is God? I am. Amen. What does it mean to be the I am? It means He's a big blank check. He signed it. Jehovah God. And He hands you a pen. And He says, whatever you need, fill it in. Your friends at school make fun of you. I need someone who understands. I need someone who understands. You can cash that check and you'll get someone who understands. Lord Jesus. You need someone to help you on this test, Lord. Now, if you didn't study on the test, that's one thing. But if you asked for a miracle. You know, and miracles happen. But you should study on your test. If you're nervous about that test that you studied for, and you're there, and you get the test handed out, you're so nervous, you say, I need something for my nervousness. Oh, I know just the thing. Lord Jesus, sign the check. You got it. Whatever you need, He is. Okay, so let's all stand up. We're going to be very active this meeting. Right? We're going to call on the Lord. 5 times in 3 parts. Are you listening? We're going to call on the Lord all together 5 times in 3 parts. The first part we will call, O Lord Jesus, but we will emphasize this wonderful word, O. Okay? So we will call like this. O Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay, 5 times. Ready? Go.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus.
One more time.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
You know, all of Paul's epistles, 14 epistles, can be summarized in 2 words. Full-time trainees, what are those 2 words?
Open vessel.
Good, you passed. Open vessel. Opens us. God needs us to be open. Right? Everything depends on our being open. So let's call 5 more times with an Lord Jesus. Ready? Go. Lord Jesus. Oh,
Lord Jesus.
Oh,
Lord Jesus.
Oh,
Lord Jesus.
One more time.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Okay, very good. Have a seat for now. You may think that your life is totally chaotic. I heard a yes back there. Is that an amen, brother?
Amen.
Sometimes we have this thought, our life is a mess.
Amen.
Well, it may seem so, but you know what? The Lord is on the throne. The Lord is the Lord. And He is sovereign. That's a big word, but what that means is He's controlling everything. He's got His hands on everything. When things go great, that's the Lord. When things are just regular, that's the Lord. Sometimes when things seem to be going wrong, the Lord is there. That's also the Lord. The Lord is the Lord. I would be full of fear. I would be full of fear and anxiety if there were no Lord in the universe. Right? I am so glad that there is someone in control. There is God. He is the Lord. We are not over Him. He is over us. Right? He is the Lord. Let's stand up again. And let's call three times, emphasizing in an appreciative way, Lord. He is our Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Ready? Five times.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Two more times.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Sometimes, don't sit down yet. Sometimes when we call on the Lord, we don't appreciate the middle word that much. Lord. When our mom asks us to take out that trash, and it's our sister's turn, will the Lord be the Lord in you at that moment? You'll get saved. You'll get saved if you call, oh, Lord Jesus. Right? We need Him as our Lord. Let's call five more times. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Stronger.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Very good. Okay. Don't forget that word, Lord. Okay, have a seat. The last word is what?
Jesus.
The last name in the entire New Testament is?
Jesus.
The first name in the entire New Testament is?
Jesus.
Showing that the entire New Testament is all about this wonderful Jesus. Jesus. Who is Jesus? Do you know? Jesus really means Jehovah, our Savior. Jesus is not just a prophet, nor a good man. You need to realize, Jesus is Jehovah God. I love to say that because there are some people who do not believe that. And one of them, not too long ago, asked me, he said, are you telling me that Jesus is Jehovah? Oh, the Lord was leaping in my being. And I looked at him and I said, listen, Jesus is Jehovah God. He may have wanted to stone me, but I was rejoicing. Jesus is Jehovah, not just Jehovah God, but Jehovah our Savior. And we would say this, He is not just our Savior, He is your Savior, personally, for you. You know, everybody knows John 3:16, right? What is John 3:16? For God... Right, that's good.
I'm glad you have that in you.
That verse talks about the world and everyone, right? And that's right. God loved the world. Not the system of Satan, but the people in the world. He loves all men. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that everyone who believes into him, right, would be saved. But let me ask you to look up another verse. If you have your New Testament, look up the book of Galatians. And the first one to get this verse, stand up and read it. Galatians 2:20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. The first junior higher. Good. These three. Read it strongly so we can all hear it.
I am crucified with Christ.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
I live in his faith. Amen. The faith in the Son of God, the Lord, he gave himself up for me.
Amen. Did you hear it?
Yes.
Was that talking about the whole world and everyone? This verse talks about me. That's the Apostle Paul. He says he lives by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself up for me. You can change me to you. He loved you. What does that mean? That means if there was no one else, he would have came and given himself up for you. That's how personal he is. Who is Jesus? He's Jehovah. He's the Savior of the world. He is your Savior. Do you need to be saved?
Amen.
Amen. If you need to be saved, say amen.
Amen.
There is no other way to be saved except through this name, Jesus.
Amen.
Okay, we should never use this name lightly. Because it is rich. It is rich. Let's stand and call, O Lord Jesus, 5 times. And if Long Beach didn't hear us the first time, they need to hear us this time. Let us exalt this name. This name is despised. Let's exalt it.
Amen.
Ready? Go.
O Lord Jesus. Oh Lord Jesus. Oh Lord Jesus.
2 more times.
Oh Lord Jesus.
Oh Lord
Jesus.
Okay, call 5 times again. This time I want you to consider something you need saved from. Consider a practical situation. When you call on his name, invite him into that. Be my Jesus in this situation. Be my Savior in this situation. Go.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh,
isn't that good?
Amen.
You can have a seat. Is he rich or not?
Amen.
Amen or amen?
Amen.
His name is so rich. It really should eventually. Okay. This is not a law, right? But let me tell you. Eventually, the more you enjoy that name, the more you enjoy that name, the more it will matter to you when somebody uses it in vain. Right? Now, we know sometimes there are habits. There's just habits. There's things we just say without even thinking about it, because everybody says it. But this is one thing that if we catch ourselves in this kind of a habit, using the Lord's name in vain, there should be a check within. Oh, I'd like to stop doing that. I realize right then, I said it again in a light way. Lord Jesus, forgive me. Lord Jesus, I love your name, precious name, right? Okay, let's read Roman numeral 2 all together. Sorry. Let's read A. A. It is
God's commandment and desire that his people call on him.
I love this commandment. It's like I command you to eat hot fudge sundae. No problem. Amen to that commandment. Right? But sometimes we forget. Then we need to remember. You've been commanded. What do we say? Aye, aye, sir. Salute. Every morning, follow the command. Eat that rich name. Okay, B, go. This is the joyful way to drink from the fountain. Enjoyable way. Amen. Amen. How do we delight ourselves in God? By His wonderful name. One time I took a trip from Anaheim down to, Tustin. And then we had to take the 5 freeway all the way down, and then we exited. And the whole trip took like 45 minutes. And me and the brother in the car, you know what we did the entire time? Every second of that time, we didn't say any other word except these 3 words, "Oh Lord Jesus," for 45 minutes. I encourage you to try that sometime. You know what you'll experience? You will experience springs of salvation. We didn't step out of the car. We floated out of that car. And we floated right into the meeting. And when we got into the meeting, we just couldn't stop. We just kept calling. They were like, "What's going on? Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. What are you doing? Oh, Lord Jesus. How was your day? Oh, Lord Jesus." We sat down. It just became, eventually they all couldn't stop us. They just joined us. Anyway, what a rich name. Okay, let's read Isaiah 12, 3 through 4. Therefore, with joy, water, with rejoicing from the Son of Salvation, and you will say in that day, "Give thanks to Jehovah, call upon his name, make his deeds known to among the people, remind him that
his name is exalted."
That's good. If someone uses the Lord's name in vain, remind them. They say, "Oh my, hey, I want to remind you, that name is not low. That name is exalted." I don't know if you can say that to your friends or not, but at least, right? Not bad. At least among one another. If you hear each other use the Lord's name in a vain way, remind each other. We need each other, right? If you hear me use the Lord's name like this in a light way, I hope you won't. But I need you brothers to remind me. Hey, remember, his name is exalted, right? Don't smack him over the head and say, bad, bad, bad. Just say, "I like to remind you, his name is exalted." Okay, let's read Roman numeral 2. Pray reading the word of God in Jeremiah 15, 16. Let's read that again. Your words were found,
and I ate them, and your word became to me the gladness and joy of my heart.
Did you know there was a time in the history of the children of Israel where there was already a temple? There was a temple in Jerusalem, and there were priests there doing all of the services. You know, all of these things. Well, I'm not sure if they were fulfilling all of these things, but there were priests there, right? But the situation was not so good. You know what they did? And I don't know how this could have happened. But you know what they did? They lost the Bible. Yeah, they lost the Bible. Can you believe that? I mean, if there's one thing that the temple should know where it is, it's the Bible, right? They lost it. They didn't use it. They didn't refer to it. They didn't open it. They didn't read it. And over time, it just got forgotten. And it was just hidden somewhere. It was just somewhere. They just didn't use it. And then suddenly, listen, they found it. They found it. I believe the king at the time was Josiah. And when they found the Bible, Josiah, who was a very young man when he became king, younger than you. Yeah, how about being king right now? I say, okay, king. What is your name? Sam. King Samuel. All hail King Samuel, right? The whole country is in his hands. Solve the economic crisis and make everything right, King Samuel. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. But listen, when they found the Bible, even this little boy realized, we have found the Bible. You know what he did? He commanded right away. Well, first, he read through it, right? And he realized, hi-yah, our situation, not so good. And he just repented. He repented for himself. And for all the people, and for the situation, right? And then he commanded that this book that they found be read to everybody publicly. And they stood there and read it to all the people. And the people's reaction was the same as his. They just realized, wow, this light, the light in this book. Praise the Lord for this book. Sometimes, even in the church, even going to so many meetings week after week, sometimes we lose the Bible somehow, right? It just gets not referred to that much, you know? Even we're told, read the Bible, somehow it kind of gets lost at home, right? How about this? 7th graders, 8th graders, how about you go home and you find the Bible? If you have a Bible, raise it up high. Let's see that you found it. He's holding up a cell phone. Keep them up. I don't see every chair with the Bible. Have you lost your Bible? Brothers, where's your Bible? Let's say, hallelujah for the Bible!
Hallelujah for the Bible!
Okay. Without the Bible, we have no way to know who God is. The Bible defines, it explains, and it expresses God. Now, once you find the Bible, what should you do with it? Eat it. Amen. That's right. One time, a very young person heard this word. And later on, his dad found his Bible. And it had teeth marks, you know, on it. So he had to sit down with his son, you know, who was quite small. and say, well, I'm glad you're obeying the word, but that's not quite what we mean here, right? We don't mean take a bite out of your New Testament, right? How do you eat? How do you eat the Bible? Very good. You pray, read it. And you know, my youngest daughter, who is 2.5, has a problem. She has two problems. Her first problem is she is absolutely too cute. Okay, but I can't do anything about that. Her second, because she gets that from her mom. Her second problem is when she eats, she doesn't chew that much. It's very dangerous, isn't it? So we have to make sure that we cut it all up really small. Sometimes we forget, and she'll put this piece of hot dog or something in her mouth and just go, you know, and you're like, ay! She needs to learn how to chew, right? We need to learn how to chew. This word for eat in Jeremiah 15:16 is not just chew. It's this big word, masticate. That means to like chew it to a pulp. You know, chew it up good. Really get it chewed up, right? Taste it from all sides. Don't be in too much of a hurry. Don't be too quick. Don't go too fast when you pray, read. Spend time. You'll be surprised where light will come from. I pray read through the genealogy of Christ in Matthew. Oh, there's a lot of light when you pray read the genealogy of Christ. You know, so-and-so begot so-and-so, and so-and-so begot so-and-so. One of their names was Aminadab. And in Romanian, you don't say amen, you say amin. So we were pray reading, begot Aminadab. Aminadab. Amin. Oh, Aminadab. Aminadab, Lord, beget an Aminadab in me. May I be full of an Aminadab. Right? See, if we would have just heard over it, we just would have went, Aminadab, blah, 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 blah. Spend some time. Spend some time. Okay, let's pray read something, okay? Let's look at Second Timothy 3:16. Okay, 2 Timothy 3:16. It's on page 26, about three quarters of the way down. Oh, right. It's also on page 23. Okay, let's read it, and then we'll just pray read, all Scripture is God-breathed. Okay, go. All Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. Okay, all Scripture is God-breathed. Go. All Scripture is God-breathed. Okay, now let's chew this verse. Amen. All. Amen. Good. Stand up and exercise. Go. All. Even the genealogy of Matthew. Amen. Amen. All Scripture.
Amen. All Scripture.
Amen.
All Scripture.
Amen.
All Scripture.
Amen. Amen.
All Scripture.
Amen. Are you sure it is? That's right. Amen. Is. What is it?
God.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Very good. Okay, now, go. Amen. Okay, now spend about 1 minute pray reading it yourself. Out loud, but just you. Okay, go. Just you. All scripture. Thank you, Lord. God, amen. God, breathe. Amen. 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 Very good. God, breathe. Very good. Amen. 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 Very good. Can I have your help here for a second? Very good. All scripture is what? Do you realize that the Bible is this? The breathing out of God. Right? That's the scripture. Is it a textbook?
No.
Is it a manual of what to do and what not to do?
No.
It is God's breathing. So how do you receive a breath? If God breathes it out, what should we do? We breathe it in. Ah, right, let's go. Amen. In. Amen. We breathe in God's word and we say, amen. Right? God speaks and you, where are you going? Don't be too quick when you pray read. God breathes and then he breathes it in and says, amen. There you go. Very good. That's how we can strike the spirit of the word with our spirit.
Amen.
When we do that, we touch the divine fire.
Amen.
And it changes us. Amen. We just get crazy. Can't help it. Hallelujah for pray reading. Okay. Let's read Matthew 4:4. Go. Right.
But on every word that proceeds out through the mouth of God.
Amen. Ephesians 6:17 and 18.
And receive the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which Spirit is the word of God, by means of all prayer and petition, praying at every time in spirit.
Wow, this verse is so good. How should we receive the word? By means of all prayer. That means prayer that is loud, prayer that is quiet. Even sometimes you can sing pray the word. All prayer. Don't get stuck in a religious form. The important thing is to touch the Lord. All prayer. If you are happy with yourself, raise your hand. If you stayed the way you are for your whole life, and you'd be so glad, raise up your hand. Wow. Praise the Lord. With the Lord. Very good. Very good. You know, I don't know about you all, but I am... You know, maybe it happens when you get married. Your wife is just a big mirror. And whatever you do, you just realize, oh. And you know, I was raised with me included, there were 5 boys in the family. No girls. So we could have had a brothers' conference just among us, you know. 5 boys. So you treat boys a certain way, right? When you have a problem with them, you know. I mean, you know, we just take care of things, right? No, don't take care of things like this. But amongst 5 brothers, you can imagine what kind of house we had, right? Lively, to say the least. Now I have a house. I'm the only boy in my house. I have 3 girls, 2 daughters, and one wife. And I come home and I realize you can't treat girls like you can your brothers. And I'm finding out I am so rough. I thought I wasn't so rough. I'm rough around the edges. I'm rough on the top. I'm rough on the bottom. I'm rough all over the place. There have been times in the past, not so much now, praise the Lord, where I just made them all cry, you know? And I tried to make them stop crying, and they just cried more. And so I just had to go for a walk, you know, and stop making them cry. I am not happy with my current situation. How can I improve myself? Is it by self-improvement? Is it by saying, oh, I want to be, you know, whatever, whatever, and so I'm going to do it. Another New Year's resolution. Let me tell you a secret. The way to not just improve, but to become divine, divinely human in a normal way, is by pray reading the Word. Amen. Something happens. In that Word, there's something called the sword of the Spirit. And that sword, as you're praying the Word, all Scripture is. You don't even tend it, but a sword comes, and it kind of pokes at that thing. And first, it attacks you. It deals with what needs to be dealt with in you. And then it turns to the enemy. Raise your hand if you've ever been attacked by the enemy. In your mind, you've been accused of things. You've been told this. You've been told you're worthless. Listen, young people, God never tells you you're worthless. That's not in His vocabulary. He doesn't speak generally like that. He speaks specifically. And His speaking is accompanied with light. If you're attacked in a general way, that's the enemy. And how do you defeat him? By the Word of God. The same way the Lord defeated him in Matthew 4. Satan came and tempted him, right? Three times. Each time he replied, "It is written. It is written." Then he said, "It is also written." Right? So pray reading is a real key. It not only fills us with joy, but it transforms us. And it deals with the enemy. Praise the Lord. Okay, Roman numeral 3. Ready? Go. Contacting the Lord
through our repentance and confession.
Let's read that again.
Contacting the Lord through our repentance and confession.
How about all of the seventh graders read that? Contacting. 8th graders, read this, please.
Contacting the Lord through our repentance and confession.
Let's read point A. If we confess our sins,
he, according to his word, and based on the redemption through the blood of Jesus, forgives us. Our confession is needed for his forgiveness.
1 John 1:9, go. You know that the Lord is bound by His righteousness, which according to Psalms is the foundation of His very throne. The entire universe, the administration of the entire universe sits on God's righteousness, is upheld by God's righteousness. If God's righteousness fails, if he does anything, unrighteousness, everything will collapse. God's very throne is founded on this matter of God's righteousness. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and what? Righteous. To what? And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does this mean? This means that when we confess, we can have absolute assurance that God will forgive us and cleanse us. And that if he does not, if we confess our sins and he does not forgive us, he is not being righteous. He is now bound by his word that he will, according to his righteousness, forgive our sins. So if we confess our sins and he does not, he has offended his own righteousness. Let me assure you, this has never happened and this will never happen. When we confess, we need to be assured. The Lord's blood has cleansed this and we are forgiven. What does that mean? That means now we can go to the Lord's presence. We can go in and approach the throne of grace with boldness. In the Old Testament, there is a story of a woman who needed to talk to the king. She needed to go in and speak with the king. But there was a rule. There was a rule in that kingdom that while the king was on the throne and he had a scepter in his hand, if he did not stretch out his scepter when someone wanted to approach him, that person needed to be killed on the spot. So when someone came into the throne room of that king, if that king did not extend his scepter, the soldiers were watching. Will the scepter extend? If not, the king didn't say a word. He just sat there, and the soldiers knew just what to do instantly. Take this guy down. So this woman, for the sake of all the children of Israel, needed to approach the king. And she came into the room, into the throne room. And so the question is, what happened with the scepter, right? Well, the story has a very wonderful ending. That king extended his scepter. She got to approach the king and make her petition. And all the people got saved. Listen, our king's scepter is extended. The Lord is on the throne. When we approach him, we don't approach him in fear. Because of the blood of Christ, we can approach him with boldness. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for the extended scepter. Amen. So if you confess your sin and you approach the throne and there's still condemnation in you about that, that's not the king. That's the enemy. Tell him to go away and approach that throne with boldness. The purpose, and I'm ahead of myself a bit, but the purpose of confession, and this may surprise you, the purpose of confession is not to make you feel bad. That's not the goal. What do you think the goal of confession is? Why do we confess? Who said that? Are you sitting next to a serving woman who told you? Hallelujah. That's right. Listen, this brother may have told you, but don't forget it, okay? That's right. That's very good. The purpose of confession is to regain the fellowship. Okay? Here's my brother Walter, right? We've been serving together in these camps for many years. And if there's an offense between Walter and I, you know, sometimes you need to confess to the Lord. And sometimes when you confess to the Lord says, very good, but you need to go and confess to your brother, right? Because what you did offended him. Okay, so what's the purpose? Right now, we have sweet fellowship. right?
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Before
brother.
The meeting, we prayed together.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Everything's fine, right?
Amen.
If not, let me know after the meeting, and I'll confess
no
whatever
problem.
It is. Okay. We have sweet fellowship, right? Then I do something. I don't know. Whatever it is, right? I don't want to do anything. I do something that hinders the fellowship, right? Something comes up, and now where's his face? It's hidden behind the offense, right? It's hidden behind this. So what's the purpose of confessing? The purpose of confessing is not just that I would, you know, woe is me, I'm so bad again, I blew it, right? Yeah, I did blow it, and I'm going to blow it again, and probably again, and again. The purpose of confession is this. Dear Brother Walter, I confess. Brother, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't. I am? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now
the
fellowship is restored. You see? Now we can pray together.
Amen.
Right? So what? Confession is not the goal. Confession is a means to take away the blockage.
Amen.
To go. So when we come to the Lord, listen, this is big. This will help you very much. Every single time you turn to the Lord, you should turn with an intention for his face.
Amen.
You see? To get into his face. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Right? Then while you're there, listen, this happens a lot. While you're there, the Lord may show you there's something wrong. You see? You didn't know until you went for his face.
Right.
Then as you're in his face, he says, oh, I love you. But you know what? How you spoke to your mom the other day.
Right.
Uh-oh. You know, it's, right? How you spoke to your sister. Oh, Lord. Oh. Now, what should you do right now? What should you do right now? Say, yeah, but Lord, it was her fault. It's still rising, right? The problem. But Lord, it was her turn to take out the trash. Okay, now it's, you know. Now, where's the Lord? All you have to say is, Lord. What's that one word? Amen, Lord. Amen, Lord.
Hallelujah.
What I said, hey, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know,
then
you're back
praise
again.
The Lord.
See, that's what confession is. Okay? Was that a help?
Amen.
So when you go to the Lord, you don't go to the Lord for anything else but to enjoy his face.
Amen.
And while you're there in the light, if we are in the light, as he is in the light, something may come up, and then the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us.
Amen.
From all. Don't try and think stuff up. Don't say, okay, Lord, I want to spend some time with you. And I used to do this, so I know what I'm talking about. Don't say, okay, Lord, I want to spend some time with you, right? And he's got nothing in his hands. There's no problem, right? But I come with all kinds of stuff, right? And I say, okay, Lord, I want to spend some time with you. But let me think real hard. What have I done not so good? Okay. Last year I did, you know, and you put up stuff. Okay. Why are you doing that? Because, did you forget, you know, I did this and this and this, right? That's not our job. Our job is to enjoy the Lord's face.
Amen.
And when he shines on something, we say, amen, Lord.
Amen.
You're absolutely right.
Amen.
I just confess that. I repeat it. I say it again. I repent and I love you.
Hallelujah.
Right? Okay, good. Okay, let's read point. Did we read point A? Okay, let's read point B. Go.
We need to confess the sins of our conscience so the Lord will hear our prayer.
If there's something on our conscience that the Lord is shining on and we don't confess it, he cannot hear our prayers. Let's read Psalm 32:5 on page 23. Go. I acknowledge my sin to you. And I did not cover. Confess my transgressions to Jehovah. Then you forgave the iniquity. Very clear, huh? Don't try and cover them up. The Lord knows them anyway. There's no need. Okay, Roman numeral 4. Contacting the Lord through our prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. How often?
Unceasingly pray.
A good way to unceasingly pray is to call on the Lord's name. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay, Matthew 6, 6. Who is in secret,
and your Father who sees in secret will repay you.
Okay, I know that even though you guys are not, you know, 50 years old or anything, you don't have any gray hairs, you still have some experiences of the Lord in secret. I believe that many, if not all of you, have experienced the Lord in secret. That means nobody else is there. Maybe you were walking home from school or walking here or there, or you're all alone at home, and you just had a time with the Lord privately. Amen?
Amen.
I believe you have. The Father loves this. The Father himself is in secret. And he's waiting for you in secret to come and have a time with him in secret. It's not to impress anybody. It's not to make anybody happy or, you know, score any points with anything. It's just simply because you want to talk with the Lord. And this again is normal. It is normal for us to have an inclination, a propensity within to just want to talk to the Lord. Right? Eventually, we will not be able to count how many secret little talks we've had with the Lord about so many things, where we just pour everything out. These kind of secret experiences are like our roots that go down into the soil that are so important. When winds come, we won't fall over because we have these secret times. Nobody else knows about them but you and the Lord. You know, sometimes when I speak in a conference or something, some experience pops up, and I remember, oh, this experience, maybe I should share it. And often the Father says, that was between you and me, right? That was for us. And I just have to say, amen. I want to keep that in secret. No one else will know about that but you and me, Father. The Father is in secret. And most of our Christian life should be a secret life. Right? Praise the Lord for this. Okay. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Go. In nothing be anxious. Thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God,
which surpasses every man's understanding, will guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus.
We need to cast all of our anxieties on him. All of our anxieties about our tests, our friends, our family, throw them all. Throw them once for all. Commit them all on him. It matters to him about these things. Don't think that, oh, God is too busy for this thing. He's not too busy for this. He wants to hear about your anxiety. Cast it on him. Okay? Let's read Roman numeral 5. The importance of the believers meeting to... Matthew 18, 20. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's okay. Very good. Okay, that's good. For where there are two or three gathered of my name, there I am in their midst. Let's read Acts 2, 1 and 4. Why is this verse on there? This verse is on there because this was a very important meeting. And the disciples didn't know it was a very important meeting. The disciples were there doing what they were told. They were just meeting there in this room. And they had done that before, and they didn't think anything extra special was going to happen. But something really special happened in that meeting. What happened in that meeting? Well, not too long before that, the Lord had been crucified. And then there was reports that he was raised from the dead. And some actually saw him. In this meeting, Jesus appeared. It was in that meeting, Jesus appeared. Why is this verse on there? You never know in what meeting Jesus will appear. If you miss it, you miss his appearing. There was somebody who missed that meeting. Aye. We all know his name, right? Thomas missed the meeting. You know what he missed? He missed the Lord coming as the Spirit and breathing himself into the disciples. That is a big missing. And it's no coincidence that the one who missed the meeting was full of doubt. Let's read the next verse here. Hebrews 10, go.
And let us consider one another,
as the custom with some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day drawing near. Just be careful, because if we miss the meetings too often, it can become a custom with us. And then we could fill in our names in Hebrews 10. Not abandoning our own assembling together, as the custom with Peter Harvey is. Oh, Lord. We don't want our name in this verse, right? How does it happen? You know, sometimes things happen and you have to miss the meeting. But if we can have it in our being that we are a meeting-going person, that's the best. One story and I'm done. And then it's your turn. You're going to have plenty of time to speak and overflow from the whole conference, okay? We lived for 3 years in Europe. You're not going to want to miss this. We lived for 3 years in Europe, part of the time in Eastern Europe, part of the time in Western Europe. And in one of the places where we lived, it was very, very difficult to get a family of four, to get our family with young kids from where we lived outside the city all the way into this major, crowded, metropolitan city in this country. Took a long time, and it involved cars, metros, you know, all these things. Especially in the winter when it was cold, and you have to push, you know, your kids with the strollers in the cold. Not easy. We had to wake up early. We had to do all kinds of things. Well, it was easy to miss an occasional meeting. And then there was a period of time. And this was a turning point in our family. There was a period of time where we missed one meeting because somebody was sick. Then we missed the next meeting because of something else. And I think it got all the way to like 3 or 4 meetings because of things. And then either on that 4th or 5th time, everybody was healthy. Everything was fine. And there was a question Are we going to the meeting this morning? And actually, I wasn't feeling that good. So I was trying to get a little bit extra rest. So I wasn't up early to get everybody, you know, set. And we just weren't clear. Are we going this morning? So by the time I got up, I was hoping we were ready to go, you know. Let's go. Well, we weren't ready to go. The kids weren't ready to go. I wasn't ready. You know, we just weren't ready to go. And so my wife and I sat down, and we made a decision together. And here it is. This family, okay, this family is a going to the meeting family. All right? That's the way it is. What is our status quo? What is our standard operating procedure? What do we do every time unless something happens? We go to? That's what this family does. So we were clear. We were clear. Now there is no longer any question. If there's a meeting, we're going. Right? It's good. Now, you're not married. You don't have to have a talk with your wife about this. But have a talk with yourself about this and with the Lord. And it would be good to have a standard. This junior higher is a meeting-going junior higher. I don't want this to be a custom that I miss the meetings. The Lord may appear. He may not appear to anybody else in that meeting, but he may appear to you. And if you miss it, you miss a lot. Okay. Thank you, Lord, for this conference. Lord Jesus, at the end of this conference, we love you more than when it started. Thank you for this light of being normal. Fruit bearing. Lord Jesus, we love you. We give you ourselves to you again. Make us these kind of normal people. Salt. Light. Abiding in the vine. Amen.